Why do you think there's so many leaders out there falling off the pedestal? Because they don't have anybody who'll tell them the truth. And it's not just the pastors that are up on some pedestal that nobody can talk to, but it's people in the pew. It's all of us. We need to have those kind of relationships. We need to surround ourselves with those people that will tell us the truth, whether you want to hear it or you don't. And if you don't have somebody in your life who can jump in your face and say, no, you shouldn't be doing that, then you're in a dangerous place.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
So, I heard you've been called upstairs.
I think I might be in a bit of trouble.
Well, if they called you upstairs, it's probably more than just a bit.
Well, thank you for the encouragement.
I'm just trying to make it real.
I think it's about the Connolly account.
Really? I thought that was locked down.
Yes, so did I. But after our last meeting, something changed. I hope it didn't have anything to do with my suggestion that they diversify their holdings in Europe.
No need to guess. My advice is to consider any suggestions they give you and accept responsibility for any mistakes.
But it's my account, and corporate were the ones that said I should be the one to make the call.
The wise man receives correction and instruction.
Are you calling me wise?
We'll see.
One of the traits of a wise person is the availability to receive instruction and correction. Get your Bibles ready as we'll be looking at several passages in the book of Proverbs.
Let's see if we can get what the Lord is going to say to us today. And just by way of review, I'm reminding you that we are not going through the Proverbs in a verse-by-verse way, the way that we have gone through other books. But we're picking up some major themes that are in the book of Proverbs. And so we've looked at quite a few of the themes and bounced around. The one that we are going to talk about today is a very major theme. And it's there over and over and over again. We are exhorted to receive correction and instruction. And so we want to take a look at that and see what these various proverbs have to say to us. And what I want to suggest is that we're going to jump around quite a bit. There are a number of proverbs we're going to get to. In fact, we can't even get to all of them that talk about this particular subject. But we're going to look at quite a few of them. So keep your finger on your Bible or in your device or however you jump around and see if you can follow me as we go through. But let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would minister to us, that you would challenge us by your word, that we would be benefited by it, Lord, that we'd be transformed by it. Lord, help us to be receptive to what you have to say today, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's been said that the average person thinks four times faster than they speak. And that's one of the reasons why, at least it's a contributing factor to why our minds wander and we don't always process everything that's being said. And when somebody's talking to us, you know, we might hear the beginning and then our minds are off somewhere else. Maybe not you, but that's a struggle that I have. And we're thinking about other things rather than listening all the way through. And it gets even worse when we think about hearing correction, rebuke, instruction, because those things that we don't want to hear in the first place, you know, we'll tune that out real quick and think about something else. And what ends up happening is that we don't always apply those bits of correction and instruction to our own lives. So we might hear correction, but we don't explore how it fits into our lives. And according to this long list of Proverbs, I need you to understand that a wise man receives instruction and correction. Anybody here love to receive correction? Sometimes she qualified that real quick. The fact of the matter is, very few of us relish the idea of correction, rebuke, instruction. That's not our forte. But a wise man wants to benefit from hearing that correction. In fact, the first thing I want you to see in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 is that a wise man loves correction. It's not something that is distasteful to him, but he loves correction. Proverbs chapter 12. Let me see if I can flip over to that real quick. Proverbs 12 and verse 1 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is what?" Whew, I didn't say that. But you know, so many of us fit into that category where we don't want to hear correction and rebuke. Where a wise man says, you know, let me hear what you got to say. Let me hear, and I can figure out how it applies to my life. Instruction and correction is not always easy to deal with, but a wise man will get wisdom from instruction. It doesn't even mean that you're going to do everything that somebody else says. It doesn't mean that you're going to accept whatever appraisal somebody else gives. But a wise man wants to hear that. He wants to hear it so that he can figure out how it applies to his life. In Proverbs 23:12, the wise man is challenged to apply his heart to instruction. In other words, not just hear it with your ears, but to dwell on it a little bit, to apply it to your heart, to think about it, to mull it over, to make sure that rebuke that you're receiving, is that there's no kernel of truth in there that needs to be applied to your life. It's not always pleasant to hear, but you learn to appreciate the value that it has. You know, it's like a little kid eating your spinach. You know, you don't like it at first, but it grows on you a little bit. By the time you get to be an adult, the spinach isn't really all that bad. For me, it was liver. I mean, when I was a kid, I hated liver. I couldn't stand it. Actually, the best liver I had was my grandmother. Used to make some liver. I don't know what she did different, but you know, I could at least get that down. But, you know, when I was an adult and I figured, you know, I hated liver. And next thing you know, I got somewhere where that's what was put in front of me. And I ended up saying, no, it's not that bad. You know, I hated it all these years. And I think I had it like figured out in my mind as some terrible thing. But all these, you know, it tends to grow on you. And rebuke and correction is sort of like that. You hate it at first, but when you stop and think about it, it grows on you, and you need to be able to deal with it. The reason that it's so hard to hold people accountable these days is that we don't appreciate rebuke and correction. And we have to be very careful before I offer any correction to anybody. Because the first thing that people say is, who does he think he is telling me? And the reality is that when you appreciate rebuke and correction, it doesn't even matter who it is. Oh, you're not hearing me. That no matter how low or how high, how good or how bad it comes from, the source, you can take that rebuke, take that correction, and process it and get whatever benefit is sitting there without getting all huffed up and puffed up over the person that's delivering the correction or rebuke. Are you with me? Here's a good example. You know, everybody knows I love to skate, right? Every Tuesday, as much as I can, I end up at the rink. But when I go to the rink, there are people there that looked to me to show them different things about skating. And so I find myself coaching them, no, don't do this, do that, do it this way, don't do that. And then there are people that I go to that help me, and they coach me and tell me, no, don't do this, don't do it this way, don't do it that way. And so all of us, and I think about that in my journey in skating, I find myself both receiving correction and giving instruction. Are you hearing me? Now, when I get to the place where nobody can tell me anything, I'm better than you, and nobody can tell me anything. Guess what? I've gotten to the place where my growth just stops. I can't get any better. I can't grow anymore. I'm done. I can still coach, but I can't grow because I've lost my appetite for instruction and correction. See, when I was hanging on the wall, I wanted somebody to tell me how to get it going. But when I started, you know, doing my thing, don't tell me nothing. And isn't that the way our Christian life is? When we first come to Christ, oh, teach me. How do I read the Bible? How do I pray? How do I do? Oh, help me. Correct me when I'm wrong. Tell me what. But as soon as we think we have arrived, don't talk to me. And once you get to that place where nobody can instruct you, nobody can rebuke you, nobody can correct you, you have stunted your ability to continue to grow. And so a wise man is always willing to process rebuke and correction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we need to always find ourselves in that place. Tell your neighbor, I need you to coach me. Tell them I love correction and instruction. Yeah. See, Carol's not here right now. So I can make y'all get in trouble. My coach is not in the house. But here's something else I want you to see out of Proverbs, and that is that the wise man realizes that he's not always right. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 12, just a couple pages over. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. It's a verse that all of us have heard before. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of what? Death." The wise man realizes that he's not always right. A wise man understands that he's not arrived yet, that there are flaws that need to be corrected. And when we understand that we're not always right, we're open to being corrected. That does not mean that you just take blindly every bit of instruction and every correction that comes your way, but it does mean that you're willing to process and think about how that bit of instruction applies to you. Before you just dismiss it out of hand, you need to pray over it and think about it and see, Lord, what would you have me to learn from this? And first of all, we compare the correction to the Word of God. So when somebody comes and gives you a rebuke, put it in strong language, and says, no, you shouldn't do this, rather than just dismissing it out of hand, saying, who's he think he is? We need to compare it to the Word of God. Say, is what he's saying to me consistent with what God has to say to me? And if it is consistent, if what the person is saying is consistent with what the Bible is teaching us, then I need to stop and think about how I'm applying that in my life. But too often, we don't even get to that step. We just dismiss it because we don't like the person We don't like the source. We don't think the person is, you know, they got the bad attitude. They cross their eyes at us. They cut their eye or whatever the expression is. They walk by us and didn't say hello or whatever excuse we have to just dismiss what they say. And I'm saying that what we need to do is we need to apply it, search out the scriptures and see if it's consistent with the word of God. Amen? But there's something else we need to do. And that is that if it is consistent with the word of God, we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom that we need to apply that into our lives, to work it out so that it leads from our head into our hands and into our feet. And those are steps that we should take regardless of who it is that's bringing the correction to us. I think about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. If you read Matthew chapter 4. What did he say to Satan? Here's Satan giving him correction. And he goes straight to the word and says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And so we need to be able to apply the word of God to our lives and see how it fits. And then allow the Holy Spirit to show us how it should be worked out in our lives. God speaks to us through the Bible, but he also speaks to us through godly people, through people that he's put into our lives and around us. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as to how to apply that wisdom to our lives. So don't focus. I guess this is the point that I want to make. Don't focus on the person who's talking to you. And we do that way too often. Don't focus on the person speaking, but focus on the challenge of the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. A wise man realizes that he's not always right, and therefore always is open to listen to correction and to explore how it applies to his life. So something else I need you to tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I need you to talk to me. I need you to correct me. You know, we got commotion in the back. You see, if we can confess that we're not always right and we need other people to correct us and to straighten us out sometimes, we're halfway home. The problem in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we've gotten ourselves so spiritual that we don't need anybody telling us anything. And when you get to that place, it's done. You stop growing. And then I need you to see something else, that the wise man avoids harsh consequences. The wise man avoids harsh consequences. Proverbs 15, if you flip over another page, Proverbs 15 and verse 10 says, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. You know, I remember my dad used to tell us, you know, that there, if you don't take correction at home, they'll correct you out there in society. You know, and the consequences out there are a whole lot worse than the consequences that I'm about to apply. Oh, y'all aren't with me. And so we need to understand that there are harsh consequences that can be avoided. Let's make a note of some of these verses. Proverbs 17:10 says that rebuke is effective for a wise man. The wise man doesn't have to be beaten down or hit rock bottom or find himself, you know, living under a bridge somewhere. But as my dad also used to say, a word to the wise is sufficient. Freedom from correction and restraints has its advantages, but it also has grave consequences. I mean, I remember when I was 18 and graduated from high school and going off to college, it was like, whoa, freedom has its advantages. You know, nobody's on me day to day. I could do what I want to do. I could go where I wanted to go. I could stay up as late as I wanted to stay up. Nobody's telling me anything. And, well, I won't tell you all those stories. But, you know, freedom does have its advantages, but it also has grave consequences. Imagine somebody jumping off the top of a 10-story building, feeling the wind in his hair. Feeling, you know, the freedom of flight. Just imagine that. But it has grave consequences. And so we need to be willing to hear rebuke and correction and not seek that freedom. The wise man will listen to the instruction and lessons that others give to him, even though it seems constricting. It seems, you know, like we want to break free from that, because those rebukes and that correction will help us to avoid harsh consequences. Amen. And then in Proverbs 13, if you flip back to Proverbs 13 and verse 20, the wise man will find himself hanging with wise counselors. I like that. Verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. You know, they used to say birds of a feather flock together. And you can, you show me your friends and I can tell you a whole lot about you. And so we need to understand that we end up with people together, and a wise man is going to surround himself with wise counselors. When your best friends are serving the Lord with their lives, that's a good indicator of your priority in life. When your best friends are out there ignoring God, doing their own thing, and you find yourself in a lot in common with them, then they're not going to rebuke you. They're not going to correct you. They're not going to encourage you to get back in the way. And so you find yourself drifting off.
Stay with us for some closing thoughts from today's message. But first, our new offer. It's one that will bless the children God has placed in your life, be it a son, daughter, niece, nephew, grandchild, or even a neighbor. This gift will aid the tweens in your life along their spiritual journey of growth. It's the 3-minute devotional book for kids. With the new school year underway, our children need as much exposure to the things of God as ever. This book encourages them to spend time with Him and will strengthen and build their faith in Him. We have one designed for boys and one designed for girls. Let us know which one you'd like and we'll send it to you as our supplies last for your gift of any size. Just after Dr. Hart's closing for today, we'll give you our contact information. Here's Dr. Hart.
I'm not suggesting that we need to isolate ourselves exclusively with believers. I'll be the first one to say that, especially when once you're a strong believer and you're grounded in the faith, that we need to be able to go out and have non-Christian friends. One of the reasons why we are so ineffective in our witness is because most believers have so isolated themselves in the church that we no longer have close friends outside the church. And so we always need to find ourselves in a situation where we're interacting with those people that are out in the world. But those shouldn't be our counselors. Those shouldn't be our close friends. Those shouldn't be the people that we rely on for good counsel and correction. We need to make sure that we surround ourselves with good counselors, somebody that we give permission to tell us the truth. You know, I always say in the 101 class, I tell people that one of the reasons why I believe in church membership and a commitment to a particular body of believers is because it puts us, when you make a commitment to a body of believers, what you're doing is you're giving permission for them to tell you the truth. And if I'm just floating around and I don't have any commitment with any body of believers, then I can't, you're not giving me permission to tell you the truth. I could even say, you know, I encourage you to get into your word every day. And you walk out, who's he think he is telling me to get in my Bible like I don't read the Bible? And walk out in a huff with a bad attitude. Well, the reality is because there's no commitment. The reason why your parents can tell you the truth is because there's a commitment in that family. The reason why I had to listen to mom and dad is because there was a commitment to that family. And when there's no commitment to a relationship, then you don't give that person permission to tell you the truth. And so we need to surround ourselves with people that we give them permission. Listen, if you see me doing something wrong, I need you to get in my face and tell me about it. If you see me stepping out of the way or doing something that I shouldn't do, I need to have people, whether it's Pastor Sam or Pastor Fred or somebody, who will tell me that's not right. And if I can't hear that's not right, you shouldn't do that, then I've put myself on a pedestal that will be so easy to fall off of. Why do you think there's so many leaders out there falling off the pedestal? Because they don't have anybody who'll tell them the truth. And it's not just the pastors that are up on some pedestal that nobody can talk to, but it's people in the pew. It's all of us. We need to have those kind of relationships. We need to surround ourselves with those people that will tell us the truth, whether you want to hear it or you don't. And if you don't have somebody in your life who can jump in your face and say, no, you shouldn't be doing that, then you're in a dangerous place. Now, I wonder, you know, some of us might be a little scared to go that far, but that's the road, that's the pathway to further growth in Christ.
We thank God for the opportunity to share His Word and His love with you, our faithful listeners and partners. As always, we invite you to send us your prayer requests and your requests for our current offer. Our mailing address is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our online address is www.gogf.org. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and the entire staff here at GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that you can trust the next chapter because God is the author.